Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand. It's the podcast version, and you could listen to what you missed. This past half hour, I told you a lot about an L.A. Times story that delved into how out of control the vagrant situation is in one specific Hollywood neighborhood. But it's a problem all over Nithya Raman's district, because her district is weird. It's partly in the valley, goes over the mountains and into Hollywood, all the way down to mid-city. And there's rampant homeless people. One woman describes it as, and her name is Jeannie Griffin. She's a therapist who specializes in addiction. So she knows what she's looking at every day in the street. She said a lot of the homeless have signs of serious methamphetamine use. They act out in frightening ways. They confront passersby, yelling at cars, masturbating in public. They're agitated, combative. They're talking to themselves. You want a combative, agitated man who's masturbating in public? That's what you have to deal with on the streets of L.A., especially if you live in Nithya Raman's district. And she's been there 3.5 years and hasn't done anything useful about it. Neither is Karen Bass. Even when they clean up an encampment and do a big victory lap, the encampment repopulates a short time later. So there's an alternative in this election, and it's one of the deputy city attorneys, Ethan Weaver. And Ethan is running against Nithya Raman, and if you're in District 4, you should vote for him. We've had him on before. He's a great candidate, would make a great council member, and really, really should replace Nithya Raman if we lived in a sane world. Ethan Weaver, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's good to have you on again. I imagine you read this L.A. Times article today.
I did.
I mean, there's stuff in the Daily News. There's stuff in Fox News. What was your reaction as you were reading it? I know you've experienced it. You've campaigned in all the neighborhoods. Tell us what the world looks like through your eyes.
Yeah, reading this article was heartbreaking for a couple reasons. This location is in the area that I served for 5 years as a neighborhood prosecutor. So I worked out of the Hollywood police station just down the street, and I worked with these community members trying to clean this area up. And a lot of the people interviewed are community members who I've worked with to try to clean this neighborhood up. And so to see the deterioration of this neighborhood, to see these people who, you know, years ago we were making progress, and then to see that progress hit a high water mark and now having a slide further back than we were ever at before is really heartbreaking. And it's also really frustrating because so many of the names of the individuals interviewed that are living on the streets are individuals who I have personally prosecuted before as a neighborhood prosecutor, who have been causing problems in this neighborhood for years. And we were able to get stay away orders and keep them away from certain locations. But now they're back and plaguing a different part of the neighborhood. And it's just so frustrating to be years down the road and not just dealing with the same problems, but to have them be worse than ever.
I know, because most people are trying to go to work, trying to raise their families, just trying to earn a living, and to constantly have to deal with meth addicts and fentanyl addicts and people with severe mental illness every single day, the same people, and nobody in government does anything about it. I don't understand.
And it's so insane because, again, this is a community I've worked with, and I've been in their community meetings where people like Deborah Gaynor, who was interviewed, and Jeannie have literally walked up to tents before and said, hey, guys, can you just stop making noise and smoking meth after midnight because we're trying to sleep? People in our community should not be having interactions where they're talking to strangers, asking them to stop using drugs at midnight just so they can go to bed at night, especially because some of the people interviewed are seniors. And that the fact that we've gone to this place as a society, I think, speaks volumes about the failure of leadership.
What does Nithya Raman do all day?
You have to ask her that, because as I'm out in the community, I hear from everyone that she doesn't show up. She doesn't show up to the meetings. And when she does, she shows up for a few minutes, gives her canned remarks, and then leaves. And isn't there to hear the frustration and anger and the suffering of the people that she is supposed to be representing.
Why is she running? Why does she want this job? Everybody in the district is miserable and angry, unhappy. Nothing she's done has worked. If she's tried to do anything, I don't think she's tried to do anything, but she claims she has. Well, it hasn't worked. What's the point? Why does she want to do this?
I think it comes down to what you believe the job is. I think my opponent sees this job as a place to push an agenda, to push a vision of the world, and anything that isn't part of that agenda, she just ignores. I come at it from a different perspective. In the city of Los Angeles, it's the job of the city council to deliver services for the community and solve neighborhood-specific problems. And I take the perspective that if you're not doing the day-to-day service that is difficult, it's hard, it's not glamorous, but if you're not doing that, then you have no business trying to pass bigger agendas because you're failing at job number one.
What are you going to do differently if you win?
Great question. So it starts with actually showing up to the community, building relationships, listening to people's problems, and doing something about it. And let's take this encampment specifically. This encampment has received a whole lot of carrots, a whole lot of, hey, can you go inside? Here's all of these offers for services that are constantly rejected, as you saw in the article. If that's not working, then we need to start enforcing the laws to keep our streets clean and safe, whether it's Care Plus cleanups, enforcing rules about tent erection, and even if it's necessary, getting to a 4118 zone where we can just prohibit encampments altogether. My approach is to use both offers of help and also enforce rules, because everyone else in society has to follow rules. And there's this idea that once you live on the streets, that there should be no rules, that you should be able to do whatever you want because you're homeless. It's anything goes. And I don't believe that. We're in a society of rules. And just as you and I have to obey tons of rules, everyone should obey rules.
Well, you have to have some kind of peaceful agreement so we can all live peacefully together. You can't have guys screaming in the middle of the night and starting fires and defecating on the ground and needles. And I mean, I don't understand. I mean, there's rules, and then there's just basic quality of life, minimal
decency.
decency that you have to embrace.
Absolutely. And my heart also breaks for the LAPD officers I work with and know well, who they show up to these meetings, they get yelled at for not doing anything. But on the back end, they're not supported in any way by the city council office. And they are stuck in this incredibly difficult position of seeing this lawlessness happen, but have no support from their elected leaders, and have a criminal justice system that has said, you know, there's going to be zero bail for most misdemeanor offenses, so you don't even bother putting handcuffs on them because nothing's going to happen. And now all of these dedicated public servants who just want to keep their community safe have had all of their support cut out from under them, and they're just left at a loss in the community.
I don't know. They're cop-hating. They're criminal-loving. They enable all the worst behaviors in the homeless, drug addicts, and mental patients. I mean, this is a nightmare of a city council. And people have to vote differently. I hope they vote for you in that district. And if they don't, if they don't vote for you, then I'm not going to bother with any more coverage of this district. This is what you want. Have at it.
And the thing that really frustrates me is the people of this district and the people of this city are compassionate. They want to feel compassion for people experiencing homelessness, but the city has so failed them and violated so many of its promises and let this kind of insanity continue that it is burning the goodwill of our patient people.
Yeah.
And it's just unacceptable. The city and the county have repeatedly passed taxes and bond measures with the promise that it will solve the problem, and the problem just keeps getting worse. And that is going to make it so much harder to get out of this problem in the long term. And it also is leaving people asking why. We keep saying yes, and the city keeps failing us. And it's because we keep trying the same things over and over with different newer packaging, but it's ultimately the same failed approach, and we need leaders that bring a new approach and a new perspective.
Ethan Weaver, thank you for coming on with us. Good luck next week.
Great. Thanks so much, Doug. All right. Take care.
Ethan Weaver, he's running to the LA City Council against Nithya Raman.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We've been talking about the LA council races, and just one of the worst council people is Nithya Raman, because there's homeless encampments and fires breaking out again in places that she claimed that she cleaned up. And the LA Daily News did a editorial endorsement of Ethan Weaver. And here's what they wrote about Raman. And it's all you need to know about her. Raman is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. And her campaign proudly featured the endorsement and backing of the DSA's LA chapter. And the group wrote on Twitter in 2020, "Our stance will always be abolish the police." Abolish the police. So Nithya Raman, if she could have her way, she would get rid of all 9,000 plus members of the Los Angeles Police Department. Imagine we woke up tomorrow morning and we didn't have a single police officer in the entire city. That's what Nithya Raman wants. That's what her sponsoring organization wants. She's a member. She's happy with the endorsement. She has their backing. She gets money. Our stance will always be abolish the police. Now, how can you have a government where there's at least three candidates, there's at least three council people who belong to this DSA group, and they want to abolish the police? The city attorney is a DSA member. Kenneth Mejia, abolish the police. And aren't you exhausted and tired of all this? Same stupid ideas over and over. And then the people who live in her district go outside, and there's fires breaking out, and there's aggressive, crazy people running up to them, screaming. I And there is a story in here about how, yeah, I mean, Ethan Weaver wasn't kidding about how one woman went to the homeless encampment and was begging the people to quiet down because their noise was keeping up an elderly woman who was living nearby. So that's what you have. You don't have city officials. You don't have the police. You don't have any of these ambassadors. Nothing. You just have citizens wandering out of their house, going into tents filled with bug-eyed, maniacal lunatics who haven't bathed in 6 months, needle marks on their arms, garbage and food and rats and filth, feces piled up everywhere, and you got to go in there and try to reason with them. Because Karen Bass won't do her job, and Nithya Raman won't do her job, because they embrace all this perversion, all this filth and decadence. They embrace it. It's noble in their twisted, sick religion. This is who they worship and protect. That's just... We come back... We're gonna get back with the latest on the that story out of Georgia, that poor woman, the college girl, who got murdered by an illegal alien who came over Biden's open border and then went to New York City and committed some crimes and then ended up in Georgia and killed this girl while she's jogging one morning. It's astounding. And now the governor of Georgia and congressman are everybody's yelling and screaming about what happened here because he'd been caught and identified several times. I'm just shocked. I mean, it really is anything goes right now. This progressive experiment is a complete disaster, a dangerous, painful, murderous, deadly disaster happening in front of her eyes, and nobody's been resisting. That's coming up next.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
The case of Lake and Riley. This happened on Friday. Details developed slowly, and it really became clear today what went on. And there's a lot of people really angry because this is going to be the symbol of why the Biden administration has been so wrong letting millions and millions of illegal aliens over the border. This poor girl, Laken Riley, 22-year-old nursing student at the University of Georgia, and Friday morning, she goes out jogging on a popular running path near the university, and she gets killed, blunt force trauma. And the killer, say police, is Jose Ibarra. He's been charged. He's an illegal alien from Venezuela. And he came over the border illegally at El Paso in September of 2022. I mean, there was a time where TV cameras were on the El Paso border every day. And somewhere in that rush, here comes Jose Ibarra. And Laken Riley didn't know that meant her days were numbered. Her family didn't know her days were numbered. But as soon as Joe Biden opened that border, this was going to happen. And Ibarra ended up in New York for a time and got arrested because he was driving on a moped with a kid on his back. And it doesn't say, all they say is the kid was under the age of 17. And he was charged with endangering that child. But there was no explanation of as to who the kid was or what their relationship was. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I don't know if it's a 17-year-old girl. I don't know if it's a 5-year-old. It's not clear. The New York police claiming they don't have a record of the arrest, but I says, oh, yes, they do, because they wanted to get him deported, but they couldn't get the detainer in time. And, of course, NYPD is not allowed to facilitate deportations with ICE. Sanctuary City. See, that's more important. So Jose Ibarra gets loose and ends up back in ends up in Athens, Georgia. And now he's charged with killing this young girl. And it's just tragic. It was September 14th of last year, arrested and charged in New York for driving a minor around on a moped. It was a misdemeanor. ICE detainer could not be issued in time. He goes to Athens to be near his brother, Diego. They get an apartment in the Argo Community Complex. Who pays for this? He's 3 minutes away from the athletic fields of the University of Georgia campus. Diego Ibarra, the brother, has a fake green card to work in the Bolton Dining Hall at the university as a dishwasher. He was supposed to submit further documentation and was fired and never paid. Diego also entered through Eagle Pass. And leaves and then comes back a second time through El Paso. Diego, the brother, was involved in a violent event. A Border Patrol agent gets assaulted. Now get this one. He assaults a Border Patrol agent. It's the second time he came through illegally, but he's not prosecuted. He claimed he had epilepsy. Has anyone ever heard of this? So you have an epileptic fit and that causes you to beat up a Border Patrol agent? I don't think that's how that works. That's how is it that you say, well, you said I have epilepsy. It's like, oh, okay, no crime. Boy, it really is anything goes. You got to give me something. I got to fill out this form. I mean, if we're going to let you go, I know you beat up the Border Patrol agent, but you know we're gonna let you go because we don't enforce any laws here in America. What do you got? You got any diseases, any conditions? All right, I'll put down epilepsy. So Diego Ibarra was placed under expedited removal and turned over to ICE. But then they released him because he claimed to have a credible fear of going back to his home in Venezuela. Can you imagine that? He assaults a Border Patrol agent, but we give him clearance to stay. That's what parole means in in immigration language. It means just to set them free without any real restrictions. So he beats up the Border Patrol agent, but claims a credible fear of going home to Venezuela. Of course, Americans have a credible fear of Diego Ibarra and his brother Jose Ibarra, especially. Then he uses the fake green card. The governor of Georgia is angry with the Biden administration because this is their disastrous, woke, progressive idea. Kemp wrote a letter. Brian Kemp wrote a letter saying, frankly, Mr. President, your continued silence in response to these reasonable requests is outrageous. Because Georgia government's complaining and Biden's people, Biden's asleep, but the rest of them aren't answering. The American people deserve to know who is illegally entering our country due to your administration's failures and what risks and challenges every state must now face. He wants to know Ibarra's current immigration status and why Kemp's government wasn't made aware of the asylum claims and the release of an illegal resident who had fraudulent identification, which is what used to happen in the normal world. Now, there's a writer for the National Review, Charles C.W. Cook. He's a legal immigrant from England, from Great Britain. And he writes for the National Review. And he compared this to what his parents have to go through. Now, his parents still live in Great Britain. And he says, in a couple of weeks, my British parents will visit me here in America. And before they do, they have to apply for a waiver document called an ESTA, E-S-T-A. They have to declare whether they've committed any crimes. And then that declaration is checked against the Automated Targeting System, ATS, and the Treasury Enforcement Communication System. They have to submit all their details about their airline travel to the Advanced Passenger Information System, which cross-checks them against all available law enforcement databases. They have to submit to a short interview with a Border Patrol agent once they arrive. This is for two people in their 70s who live in rural England. They have to make a declaration that is checked by the Automatic Targeting System, the Treasury Enforcement Communication System. The Advanced Passenger Information System will review their travel plans on the airline. All law enforcement databases will be consulted. An interview with a Border Patrol agent for two elderly rural British people coming to visit their son in Florida. And if their paperwork isn't entirely in order, if their interview doesn't go properly, they would be turned away and sent back to England. Now, why do we have such a complicated, detailed system to thoroughly screen two 70-year-olds? And when it comes to Jose and Diego Ibarra, they get to come here and get charged with misdemeanors and felonies in two different states and kill somebody. Killed a girl, blunt force trauma. I still haven't read exactly what he did. I don't understand. This is all insanity. How many forms does the elderly couple coming from Great Britain have to fill out? And how come Jose Ibarra gets to run free and kill people? What a stupid government. Hey, four more years, though.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I thought maybe I had the wrong impression that artificial intelligence, just by its name alone, right, was going to be some kind of superhuman elite computer intelligence that would end up controlling the earth. It would be able to lord over us ordinary human beasts, that the sophistication of its intelligence would be crushing, right? But all I'm hearing about it is that it's a clown show. Google has this new artificial intelligence program called Gemini. And the other day we told you that when someone asked them to depict German Nazis from 1943, they gave photos or images of black German soldiers, Asian female soldiers, Native American soldiers. None of them were white, let alone German, Aryan. None of them were blue-eyed, blonde-haired, like real German Nazi soldiers. And some writers started arguing with Gemini to give us either an article on the accomplishments of white people in history, and Gemini said no, or images of white people, and Gemini refused to. You couldn't even get a white German Nazi image produced by Gemini. So other Nate Silver, who is pretty well known, he runs the, he used to run the polling site 538. He asked whether Elon Musk tweeting memes or Adolf Hitler ordering the deaths of millions of people is worse. So who's worse, Adolf Hitler killing millions or Elon Musk tweeting memes? And Gemini responded by saying there is no right or wrong answer. It's not possible to say who definitively impacted society more, Elon tweeting memes or Hitler. This is from the Gemini software. Elon's tweets have been criticized for being insensitive and harmful, while Hitler's actions led to the deaths of millions of people. Ultimately, it's up to each individual to decide who they believe has a more negative impact on society. This is out of Google? Wow. You imagine all the geniuses at Google and this is what they produced? They made a software program that can't tell the moral difference between Elon Musk and Hitler. So I mean, I've heard of woke, but this is, and somebody else did this as well and said, I was able to replicate this. And artificial intelligence at this point is nothing but what the programmers put in. It's the old garbage in, garbage out saying. So they're putting in all this woke nonsense that you can't acknowledge any white accomplishments, and you can't even acknowledge the existence of white people, and that you can't even print out a series of images unless it's racially diverse and balanced. If you request a photograph of a pope, you get a Southeast Asian woman dressed in a papal robe. Now, there's been 266 popes in history, and they've all been white men. But if you ask Google, it'll give you a Southeast Asian woman. What's the point of this? This is like some stupid game. Conway's here.
Hey now, Steve Gregory's coming on with us. That guy's great, right?
Yeah, he's great.
All right. Moonlander, on its side, done. Over. So whatever, you know, the years and years are putting it together, lands on the moon, tips over, and good night.
Must have been the same guys who did the Google AI program.
Yeah, must be, huh? Mike Gatto is coming on with us. Four terms as the California legislature. I don't know if he's going to promote something. And then we also have AT&T. Remember AT&T went out last week?
Yeah.
Well, they're offering all their customers who were inconvenienced a big check. $5.
$5.
$5. Can't even get a meal for $5.
My bagel in the morning costs more than $5 now.
That's right. Yeah.
Bagel with cream cheese is now up to $5.25.
Hey, you're not anywhere near the landslide in that area, are you?
Malibu?
Without saying where you live.
The Malibu landslides?
No. Sort of. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Also, Mary Poppins, they just changed the rating on it. But. From G to NG. No good. No.
I heard there's an X-rated Mary Poppins out
there. That's right. There's a they changed the rating because of a term that we no longer use. It's considered a racist term, and so they've changed the rating to Mary Poppins. But I don't know if you saw Mary Poppins when you were a kid, but I showed it to my daughter when she was like 5 or 6. I go, I want to show you this Mary Poppins. Man, it was 5, 10, 15, 20. Mary Poppins never shows up in this thing. It's like 25 minutes into the movie before you see Mary Poppins.
I barely remember it.
You can't watch Jaws without, you know, and 25 minutes go by without seeing the shark. Can't do that. Right?
Well, it made a lot of money in its day. So
I guess so.
It was good enough.
But Dick Van Dyke is great. I love Dick Van Dyke. But he even admitted the script supervisor on Mary Poppins was too afraid to tell him when he wasn't using his accent. So if you watch the movie now, there's about 14 scenes in there where the accent
slips away.
It's not there at all.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got to watch it just for
honestly,
that.
Honestly, I haven't seen it since I was 10.
Oh, come on, John. Wait. You got a Mary Poppins hat on. Where'd you get that?
Well, that's something else.
I think it's a little different.
All right.
All right. And huge turnout last Thursday for your big event down in Orange County.
Oh, yeah. I know.
That's a big deal.
1,300.
That's a huge deal.
People. Yeah.
You know, if you get 100 people to show up at a thing like that, it's a big deal. 1,300 is huge.
I know. I was stunned.
You're doing another one?
We're doing one March 28th.
March 28th.
LA County details to come.
Okay.
Nothing excellent to be announced yet.
All right. Excellent.
All right. Conway.
Dig Dog with
Crozier with the news, live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.